Dwayne, Raptors win. Get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. There you go, folks. It's all good. It's all good.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 16 of the Untitled Raptors podcast. It's your host, Tal Akshay here. Thank you for joining us. We're back after a little bit of hiatus. Akshay was traveling. I was away. Raptors were boring as usual. Well, I'm just boring as the last few months of the season. In the last few years, you know, we've almost accustomed to the fact that they play these meaningless games. We're just excited, waiting for the playoffs. Let's go, right?
Oh yes, there is nothing more exciting than a week with two Chicago games where there was a guy named Lemon playing. I don't even know what his first name is. Shaquille Harrison, and then MVP chance for. Mitchell Robinson.
For missing two free throws.
Trying very hard to get his 20 and 20 game and not getting it. That's what you get for turning on Kyle Lowry's ankle.
That's what you get.
20 and 20.
It was pretty funny, though. Like, it's kind of unfortunate that we've come to the point that Chicago and New York, two marquee markets, have one of the awful teams. Like, it's clearly known that they're both tanking for Zion. New York is
trying for Zion. Come on, trying for Zion.
New York is god awful, but we've had some bad games in recent while. Raptors haven't done okay. They lost against what's the biggest loss we had recently? We did lose again.
We lost to Charlotte. That crazy. When I was traveling, I watched that game.
That was Jeremy Lamb, man. Jeremy Lamb became Jeremy Goat.
Yeah, he was that shot. Oh man, I thought for sure. Like I was like, they got the game as soon as Pascal poked it, and then Jeremy Lamb happened.
Yeah. And then we become House of Highlights material.
Yeah, exactly. So with that being said, because it is a boring week, we're not really going to recap the games. We're going to do something a little different today. And we're going to try something different. We're going to recap our, well, not recap. We're going to talk about our top five Raptors games that are most important to the franchise. So Talib and I, you know, went through our history of Raptors and kind of picked out a whole bunch of games that we thought were important to the franchise. And then we narrowed it down to five that we thought were most important. And we're going to just go through a history of those instead of recapping Chicago and New York games.
Yeah, because recapping Chicago and New York games would be god awful. You know, honestly, if you're watching the NBA in the last little while, there have been some really – you're watching G League basketball at times or like these players who don't get a shot at all. I think – what was it? Like the Milwaukee Bucks versus Atlanta Hawks this afternoon where I looked at the Milwaukee Bucks box score and I could recognize probably two people in that thing. I had no idea who
– Sterling Brown. They recognized him.
I had no idea who half these players were.
Yeah.
Right?
And there was Bonzi. I don't know who that Bonzi guy is. There's a Bonzi guy on their team now. I don't know who he is.
We're going to have to I'll have to contact our Milwaukee Bucks super fan Ali here and ask him the down low on all these players. Like, who are these players and are they actually good or like what's up? What's happening here with Bucks land as well? Are they the same way as the Raptors? We're just resting and just hoping no one gets an injury?
Well, they've got a lot of injuries, actually, legit injuries. A couple of the guys they're resting. I think they're resting Bledsoe and Middleton today, But anyways, it is typical March basketball where a lot of good teams are facing bad teams and nothing really matters. So hopefully next week we'll know who the first round opponent is and then we can preview that series. But for this week, we're going to go through the top five most important games in Raptors franchise history. So kick it off, Talib, with number five.
All right, number five. Are the Raptors most Raptors important game? I'll tell you the date: November 16, 2003. All right, this is the 2003 season started with lots of redemption after a horrible season in which Vince Carter was injured, but played in the 2003 All-Star game. Remember that he gave his spot to MJ. He didn't, right? Remember that thing? He didn't want to start, and he said he wasn't going to give a starting spot to MJ, and then in the end he gave his spot to MJ. It was a whole unnecessary drama. But it's also worth to note, since Raptors had a bad season, they drafted a player by the name of Chris Bosh from Georgia Tech.
Christopher Bosh, yes.
Just got his jersey retired recently. Miami Heat, number one. Miami Heat like just retires everyone. I know that's what it is. Right? So they retired Chris Bosh, but that was the year where Chris Bosh was drafted. And rumors had it that Vince Carter would prefer that pick to be traded for a player who could have been impactful. That was also a year that Jalen Rose came to be a Raptor. However, So a lot of good things happened that year. However, that number five spot goes to the game on November 16, 2003. Houston Rockets versus the Toronto Raptors. Kevin O'Neal as our coach. Actually, remember Kevin O'Neal?
Yeah. Defensive very coach. Very short period. Short, yeah, I mean.
Defensive coach. I think we averaged like 75 points or 80 points a game. Like, we'd run out of the shot clock every time. Like, it was boring basketball.
Tell everybody the score of this game that you're talking about, if you want to know how boring Kevin O'Neal basketball was.
So Kevin O'Neal basketball. This is a hard one. This game went into the score of the Raptors won 101-97, but it was a double overtime. This was a double overtime game. So you can only imagine how bad is this Raptors team and how slow-paced this game was. So the reason why I say this game is so important is because there's 15 seconds on the clock. Raptors are down 3, 83-30. Alvin Williams, dribbles to center court on the clock, passes it to Vince on the right baseline. Vince comes through a double back screen from the other end, gets triple teamed, and gets a screen by Antonio Davis and Chris Bosh, but Chris Bosh's man leaves him in the right corner, leaves him wide open. Vince is doubled. Vince passes to Chris. Chris makes a crisp three-pointer, his first three-pointer ever as a Raptor. Seventh game into the league. This is the rising new star. This is, where it all started, with the confidence of this Chris Bosh. Now, the starting lineup for this Raptor team, here, let me go with this one here. Oh, this is hilarious. I look at this thing and I'm just like, Vince Carter, Antonio Davis, Jerome Williams, the Junkyard Dog, Michael Curry, Alvin Williams. Chris Bosh came off the bench, right?
Yeah.
And he scored 39 minutes, scored 25 points, 7 of 11 from shooting. So he had a really good game.
Milt Palacio played 40 minutes that game?
Milt Palacio played 40 minutes and had 3 assists and 12 points. Very Milt Palacio-like, right? Lamont Murray shot 5 for 15. Like, who the hell is it? And this Houston team is not bad, though. You got Yao Ming. Yao Ming, Steve Francis, and Ketino Mobley. So three guys who are like straight-up scorers, did really well for the team. Everyone else, I have no idea who the hell these guys are. I don't know who Scott Padgett is or Muchie. I remember Muchie Norris. And Notchbar, Boston Notchbar. Remember Boston Notchbar?
Oh, my God. These are some throwback names. Throwback. So you think this is number five because it is the passing of the torch from Vince.
Yeah. To Chris Bosh.
Absolutely. And I think Vince got traded shortly after this game.
No, he didn't get short after that. I correct myself. He got traded the next season.
Oh, next season.
Next season. Because this is right after this, they made the trade for Jalen Rose and Danielle Marshall, and a bunch of injuries happened.
But he was hurt this season.
He got hurt this season. Yeah, Jalen Rose, Danielle Marshall came in. They lost a bunch of players. They fired Rob Bat. They fired Gren Grunwald, Kevin O'Neal. Then came our greatest GM of all time, Rob Babcock. Papaya LaRujo was born, and that's when it went downhill.
So the passing of the torch, but not a very successful era.
Not very successful, but yeah.
Numero four. All right, I've got four. So number four, the date is May 5th, 2018. The starting lineup for your Toronto Raptors that game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, which they ended up losing 105-103. Was Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, DeMar DeRozan, and Jonas Valanciunas. So you don't have to go too far back. This is last year's Game 3 against Cleveland. For anybody who forgot, I mean, this is anybody who's a Raptors fan probably does not forget this game. But this is the game where it was tied 103-103, and LeBron had the ball, and he came up the left side of the court, and he hit like a really tough bank shot to win it over OG's head. And obviously they went up 3-0. And then once you're up 3-0 in a series, it's pretty much done. The reason that this game is so relevant is because it was kind of the end of the KC era. So there was rumors after this game that Masai basically went into the locker room frustrated at KC for not double teaming LeBron, because LeBron was playing really well that game. And if somebody's going to beat you on the Cavaliers, especially last year when they didn't even have Kyrie, you got to let somebody else beat you. And the fact that they let OG go one-on-one against LeBron in the final second. Yeah, who's a rookie. Yeah, and if you look at it now, like OG probably was our best defender at the time of the bigger wings. But now he's probably the fourth this year.
Yo, that game, Pascal played as well.
Yeah, but I don't think Pascal was as good defensively as he is this year.
Not at all. Like this is surprising. Like I remember that game. Do you remember watching that game? I remember watching this game.
We were watching it together.
Yeah, and we were down. We were down, and then we came back up, and we're both in arms. We're like, oh, this is ridiculous. We're excited. We're just like walking around, getting.
OG hit the game to the shot to tie it, right? To tie it. Yeah. So, anyways, it's relevant because it was kind of the end of the KC era. KC's big. The knock on Casey was always that he wasn't very good at in-game adjustments. He was good between games. He was good culturally, you know, all that stuff that's very important.
It almost comes to like his preparation was on point, but he couldn't adjust on the fly as quick.
Yeah, like take risks.
He was very well prepared. Like, and I think Kyle Lowry even spoke about that in his podcast recently with Danny Green, where they talked about the difference between Casey and Nurse. Nurse has this G League mentality where you don't know the player's coming or not going or getting called up. So you just have a sort of a game plan and you just go with it and adjust on the fly. And he's been able to do that, where KC obviously is a very structured, fixated coach. When something gets thrown off in a game, you can't make that adjustment. And that game, I remember, they ran the same play with LeBron and effing CJ Miles and DeMar DeRozan switch, and you're like, come on, someone guard him. Like,
we were like, CJ on LeBron, CJ like, on LeBron.
It was like, this is the most obvious thing in the world. Like, he just ran the same play over and over again, and it kind of you lose faith in a lot of things, and that's when you lose faith in coaching, when you can't make that change or can't push the ball out of the guy's hands. Yeah.
So number four was basically the end of the KC era. When Masai kind of yelled at him in the back. Number three, Talb, you got number three.
Number three, we always get this reminder every January 22nd. Because every year, Bleacher Report, House of Highlights, highlights this as an important day in basketball history. So January 22nd, 2006 is when this thing happened. It was the Toronto Raptors versus the LA Lakers. If I remember, it's Kobe 81. Los Angeles Lakers 122 to Raptors 104. And the starting lineup for our Toronto Raptors is pretty funny. Is Chris Bosh, Matt Bonner. Oh my God, Matt Bonner. This is going back.
Played 26 minutes.
26 minutes, man. Morris Peterson, crowd favorite. Jalen Rose, also crowd favorite at the time. Also now really pretty one of the better NBA analysts on TV. I've always said that a lot of them are all garbage. And Mike James is a starting point guard. Mike James. Oh my God. Like Mike James. I've hated on Mike James for a long time because this was the only season he actually shot. He did well in his entire career and banked himself. This is what, like, you have one hit wonders. This is a one hit wonder type player. Like,
this was his 20 point season. Was this it?
Yeah, I think this was it. He went nuts. He went nuts on us. And then he was a free agent. And then on our bench, Popso.
Charlie V.
Oh, this is awful. But like, to be honest with you, our team is a lot better compared to what the Lakers had. The Lakers had Kobe Bryant.
And Lamar.
Kobe Bryant, Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom shooting-wise, he didn't have a great game, but 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Not a great game, obviously, from 4 turnovers. Kobe Bryant, 81 points, obviously dominated the game. But who are the other starters there? Chris Mim. Okay, I knew Chris Mim here and there. Kwame Brown and Smush Parker. Yeah. All right? And it's why this game is important is – hold on, a couple of things. Raptors were leading at halftime. I remember watching this game. If anyone who watched that game live remembers this, we were leading at halftime and we're excited because it was a 10:30 start in the game. Game was ending, I think, 11:30. I remember it was halftime. It was late at night. Raptors are leading halftime. And I was excited because I was like, man, I haven't seen the Raptors beat the Lakers in a long time. This was after the Shaq era. It still was excited. And then something unique happened, and Kobe scored 27 and 28 points in the third and fourth quarter. Raptors shot 50%. But you know what was interesting? Both teams had 32 turnovers. 32 turnovers? How bad was this game?
I remember it not being like a pretty game.
32 turnovers is insane.
Yeah, they both turned it over 16 times.
Absolutely.
They turned it over 16 times each.
I did math wrong. So yeah, you're right.
It was still a high turnover game.
32 turnovers.
The funniest thing about this is just looking at the points distribution on the Lakers. Like 8, 12, 3, 13, 2, 3, 81.
it's definitely cool. And why it's important, it's record books. And the reason why I find it's an annual reminder. And it kind of put Toronto on the map after Vince Carter left. It's like an annual reminder of what one player can do to a team with Kobe, Kwame, and Smush. So, like, you know, with Kobe, like, he was equipped with Kwame Brown and Smush Parker. They went and destroyed us, 81. And it's every year we get this whole, remember Kobe did this thing. And unless, I'm hoping someone breaks this record, like Steph Curry breaks this record, so we don't have to hear about this again. But I think we're going to listen to this for the rest of our lives.
Nobody's going to break it. Because the big thing is, with this one, you need a player like Kobe who has that mentality. And you also need the game to be close, which is rare. If Steph Curry's going off, the game's never close. Yeah, the game's never close. He's never going to hit 81.
Yeah.
This was such a unique game for that reason.
Also, reading more about that, Jalen Rose was telling me that Kobe Bryant during his 81 would never talk trash, pumped his chest, anything like that, just because he just did his game. And if he did that, the Raptors would obviously, that kind of like would aggravate the Raptors, would have hurt him or something. So Kobe was mama mentality, just went nuts on us, right?
Yeah.
Now, fun facts about this. Smush Parker. Remember Smush Parker, right? Kobe and Smush had quite a little beef where I think Kobe didn't like the way Smush played. Smush went to play in China, got a lot of demand due to Kobe's exposure. So the Chinese fans were like, oh, Smush Parker, he's had a beef with Kobe. We'll pay him to come play in China. Went to play in China. Then went to Russia, then Greece, and then Iran, Venezuela, Dominican Republic, back to Greece, and then recently played for the Mongolian National Basketball Association for the Mon Altomos Matamos Falcons, where he averaged 24 points, 7 rebounds, 6.5 assists, and 4.1 steals. Holy all-star numbers right there.
Wow.
And recent news?
Yes. What is the recent news?
On Kwame Brown, 2 days ago, got busted for weed cookies. I don't know what I said. I read weed cookies online, illegal in Georgia. The 7-footer had to be booked at the county jail, but the standard police car would not fit him, so they had to wait for a larger one to transport him.
This is why you listen to this podcast, for great facts like Kwame Brown.
Kwame Brown just went to jail 2 days ago for weed cookies in Georgia, and they had to get a larger cop car. This is the best. I'll tell you, he made $58 million in his entire life, so I don't think he's a bust at all.
No, he got a lot of hate for being the worst number one pick, but Anthony Bennett took it.
Anthony Bennett, our Canadian Anthony Bennett, just ruined everything with that.
Yeah. There is no way that maybe Fultz might end up being just as bad. But we'll see.
I like to have the honor of meeting Anthony Bennett. So I've met the worst number one pick. On a plane. So I remember this. I was flying to, I want to say LA. I was flying to LA and we were stuck on the tarmac at Toronto Pearson Airport, All-Star Game. I remember. And there's this large guy, economy seat. I'm sitting like middle economy. This guy was sitting middle economy, middle seat.
Wow.
And this guy had to get up because he was too tall and he felt uncomfortable sitting down for like 20 minutes. So I went up to him. He was in the corridor and I was like, man, is that Anthony Bennett? Looks like Anthony Bennett. And this is when he was playing for Minnesota, I believe. I think he got traded to Minnesota right after the LeBron thing happened. And I had probably a 30-second conversation about him, wishing him the best of luck. Unfortunately, my luck fell on deaf ears. So Anthony Bennett, he's still trying to make it in the NBA. Well, you know.
I don't know. Is he in the G League still? I don't know.
I think he's still in the G League. I don't know what he's up to. But Anthony Bennett, there you go. There's the Anthony Bennett shout out for the year.
Even your luck could not save his career.
No, I don't think my luck can save anyone's career.
All right, do your ad read, Talib.
All right, today's buzzer beaters and clutch moments is what we live for. It's March Madness time, and Duke just got eliminated. Down by 2, and our very own Canadian, RJ Barrett, goes to the line. a chance to tie it up and take it to overtime, a time for him to shine. There are no second chances, and this is it. And he unfortunately doesn't make it. Moments like this happen on a regular in our dating lives. We're given an opportunity to shine on the dating app, but with the usual bathroom selfies, group pics, car selfies, you've just struck out on an important moment in your life. Let's avoid these moments and get a better shot so you can make those free throws and be clutch in the moment. Get those right photos in at our friends at tinderphotography.ca. Let's not like be RJ in the final two, but let's be like Christian Laettner in 92. Or if you want NBA reference, Trae Young against the Milwaukee Bucks on March 31st, 2019.
Very recent. I don't know if the background music is going to work with that segment, but we'll give it a go anyway.
It's a lot different than the quiet one, but I felt like, you know what, we're going Christian Laettner in 92, or you know, Trae Young today hitting clutch.
Yeah. That broken play, he
and then he flexes right after. My favorite. Yeah. This is my favorite. They flex right after a broken play. You can't flex after a broken play.
Yeah, and the ball bounced around for like 2 seconds. There was like some suspense on it too.
That was horrible.
Anyways, we got two more in our countdown of the most important games in Raptors histories. So number two date is May 20th, 2001. The starting lineup for that game of Toronto Raptors at the Philadelphia 76ers was Vince Carter, Antonio Davis, Charles Oakley, Alvin Williams, and Morris Peterson. The Raptors ended up losing that game 88-87. Anybody who is a Raptor fan remembers that game pretty clearly. I don't know. Were you in Toronto at that time?
I was. That's when I got into basketball. So I got into basketball right before that. So I do remember that game very, very vividly. It's a sad one. Yeah. I got in. That's a big one.
That is the graduation day. So Vince Carter took Richard Petty's private plane to his graduation because he couldn't miss it. And then he went to it. And then he came back for game 7 in Philly. Ended up shooting 6-for-18 that game. And then missing that three-pointer that everybody has seen over and over again. And they ended up losing that game and losing the series because that was game 7. The reason why it's really relevant is because that was the quarterfinals. The semifinals was against the Bucks. And it was known at that time the Bucks weren't a very good team. And anybody who won that Philly-Toronto series was going to be not heavy favorites, but definitely favorites to win against the Bucks. Philly did end up winning in 7 against the Bucks. If Toronto ended up winning that game, you know, Vince sinks that shot, they have a very solid chance to go to their first finals. And I would argue their only chance before this year to really make the finals.
Yeah.
And
Lakers, right?
Yeah.
That's the Ty Lue. The Ty Lue, the Allen Iverson and Ty Lue disrespect game.
I mean, they weren't going to win it, but at least make it, right?
Yeah,
but you never know. Like, if a team makes the finals, the same thing with this year. If the team makes the finals, the ownership might have a completely different, you know, perspective on. They may end up spending. They may end up trading away a pick to help Vince, get some help. Like, so much stuff changes if you make the finals versus making the quarterfinals. That was basically the height of Vince's career in Toronto. And then right after that, the next season was a lot of injuries. That was the season they lost to the Bulls or something? Who did they lose to?
Detroit.
They lost to Detroit. Chris Childs couldn't count that season. It was basically the end of the Vince era. So that's why it's our number two game that's most important in franchise history.
That was painful, man. Allen Iverson too. Great team at that time. I remember watching that series. 50-point games back and forth, and then that's tough. But I'm excited for this year. Hopefully we don't get. Hopefully Kawhi Leonard doesn't have to go for no graduation that he's doing it like San Diego State or something like that.
Or no load management in the middle of the playoffs, please.
I was talking to someone. I was like, what if like Kawhi goes like first game of the playoffs, Kawhi is going to be off for load management. I think the entire city would just go berserk. Like, I'd be like, this is enough. This is ridiculous. Yeah.
You've sat enough. You could have sat another 10 games if you wanted to. I didn't care. But I don't think so. I think the whole point, obviously, for load management is so that he plays in the playoffs. All right, so the number one game, we had some debate on this game. But we both agreed at the time period, so we picked one of the most relevant games for the number one game in franchise history that we think is most important. And that game took place on December 22nd, 2013. The starting lineup for that game is DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, Jonas Valanciunas, Amir Johnson, and our boy T. Ross, who had a great season this year.
Ooh, T. Ross.
Yeah, who did not shoot well that night. But the Toronto Raptors, who at the time were 10-14, went in and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were 22-4 at the time, 104-98. And why is this relevant? So this is right after the Rudy Gay trade. Our birds are back.
Oh, yeah. 11 p.m. What do you know?
So right after the Rudy Gay trade... Masai actually decided he was going to rebuild the Raptors. So when he got hired and just in that offseason, the first thing he did was pull a rabbit out of his hat and trade Bargnani for assets, like some assets, some pick, Steve Novak, whatever. And then he decided that DeMar and Rudy Gay don't work well together. And he traded Rudy Gay to Sacramento for their entire bench. Like, we got Patrick Patterson back and Grievous Vasquez and things like that. John Salmons. Yeah. And Chuck Hayes,
he's our bench daddy.
Yeah. So at the time of the trade, the Raptors were 6-12. They had started off the season 6-12. Right after the trade, when Masai was, you know, in that evaluation stage of who he's going to, you know, trade next to continue the rebuild, the Raptors go 10-3, including this really important victory against OKC, who had just come off a really deep playoff run. And then he decided to kind of hand the keys to DeMar and Kyle and say, you guys play well together. We're gonna build around you guys. And obviously, DeMar's not here anymore, but that was 5 years of success.
Yeah, 100%.
That they had. The most successful part of the Raptors franchise, where they won 50 games regularly. They were in the playoffs regularly. They had multiple all-stars regularly. So to me, that game in 2003, which 2013, that we don't remember a lot, is one of the most important games in franchise history. It turned around the fortunes of the franchise. Now we're a respected franchise. Anybody goes back to remembering how it was, you know, after Bosch left or after Vince left, it was not pretty. So those are kind of the obscure things that happened during a season. And at the time, you don't think about it. But now when you look back at it, you're like, oh, these are pretty important things that happened to the franchise.
Absolutely. I think that's like I was one of the things that we debated was like, is either this game or was the Brooklyn Nets game one?
Yeah.
The same year. Playoff game where it was Masai goes F Brooklyn, and the whole We the North campaign is launched, and everything around Kyle and DeMar, both young superstars and young budding stars at the time, Terrence Ross, Patrick Patterson, everything just full force, and it was exciting to see that. Like that I remember that moment very well, and that I think every Raptor fan remembers that as like one of the young teams going against a Brooklyn team with Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. What was that? Joe Johnson, Darren Williams. Yeah. It sounds like a super team at the end.
Everybody old, though.
Everybody old, yeah. But like still pretty decent.
Yeah.
But that was one of the most exciting. I'm just amazed how Masai traded away Barks for like a first round pick. Like that's amazing. You got
anything? I'm surprised you didn't have to eat that contract. You had to give up assets to get rid of DeMarre Carroll. How could you? Gotten something for
you got something for Andrea Bargnani, which is like I don't know what Andrea Bargnani is doing now. I don't think he's playing anything, so we don't have an update on Andrea Bargnani at the moment. Maybe we'll do some digging around and find what Andrea Bargnani is up to this year. But he was the original. He was the Disco Dirk, the Italian Disco Dirk, as we call it.
So one of the low key important things of that Bargnani trade was that it ended up that James Dolan didn't want to trade again with Masai, and an agreed upon trade for Kyle Lowry, like very much agreed upon. Kyle Lowry was packing his bags. Agreed upon trade was axed last second because James Dolan felt so bad after the Barks trade that he nixed the trade for Kyle Lowry, because he thought that Masai would take his lunch money again, you know, and it ended up working well for the Raptors because Kyle changed his attitude and became skinny Kyle and became an all-star. And you know, sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make, right?
Absolutely. So. Or the best trades are the ones you get rid of. Yeah. Andrea Bagnani.
It's Damari Carroll.
Damari Carroll.
Vito Turkoglu.
Oh my God. Who did we trade? And then it's like, it's some of the worst. We've had some trades that we were really happy that, oh, this player is gone. Thank God. It's over. It's Vito Turkoglu era was like ridiculous. And then Jermaine O'Neal. Shout out to Jermaine O'Neal and Sean Marion swap that we had. I think TJ Ford for Jermaine O'Neal was one of them as well, I think.
Our Twin Towers.
There you go, man. Twin Towers. And it's god awful. Didn't work out as well. Honorable mentions. We have some honorable mentions as well.
Yeah. So you wanna list out the honorable mentions?
Yeah,
these are the games that we kind of were debating if we should include or not, but then they didn't make our list. So 96, the Raptors defeating the Bulls.
I think this is a pretty big one, but I think it's like so overtalked. Like everyone's talked about it. Like everyone knows about it too. So it's one thing that's like, yeah, it was good, but didn't really change the franchise as much as it did. It was a big moment for the franchise, but it wasn't like a franchise defining or something that was like impactful afterwards, I think.
Yeah. Outside of the fact that we talk about it.
Yeah, right? I mean, it wasn't anything different, but the same case could be made for the Jalen Rose, the Kobe Bryant game. It's just I think everyone's talked about this a lot. That's what.
2016, we had two games that we were debating on. The Indiana win. So they their first win of a 7-game series in franchise history. Where they finally got over round one. And then obviously the Miami one too. So their first appearance in the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely. Great playoff run, that one.
That was the most fun playoffs I think we've ever had.
That was super fun. Norman Powell stepped up. The series after.
No, game seven.
Game seven
against Paul George. Indiana.
There you go, yeah. Norman Powell. So it was good to see. And I really liked 2014. It's the Vince Carter tribute. And that's a long time coming. We traded Vince Carter in 2004, 10 years after we gave him a tribute. And the crowd finally cheers Vince, not booing him after 10 years. Toronto crowd's ruthless, man. Like you're gonna get booed if you do something bad here, so it's not a big thing.
But now we want him to retire with us next year.
I don't think so. Yeah, yeah. he's gonna. I think he should stay with like a team that needs youngsters.
Yeah, somebody who can actually. He won't play here.
No, he's not gonna play. You need youngsters and everything. The guy can score like 42. Plays like 44 minutes sometimes. Yeah, he can play. He's amazing. But that's our top five. We'd love to hear your top five in the DMs and Instagram. Be like, if we missed out anything, if we think something's off, we'd love to hear more. What you were doing on the day Kobe scored 81 on us. What you were doing when Raptors lost against 76ers. Like, some disappointing times in that sense, I tell you. None of them are actually like amazing. The only amazing one I find is a Chris Bosh 3. Everything else is like we missed a bunch of things in here.
Nah, the OKC game, turnarounds.
OKC turnaround. That's the big one.
If they don't go 10-3, I'm a firm believer. If they don't go 10-3 after that trade, that Masai's trading somebody.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
trading DeMar or Kyle or somebody just to, because he's a new GM. You want to start fresh. It's usually that's what GMs do. They just come in and clean house, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, this was a fun episode. Hope if you guys liked it, as Talo said, let us know on Instagram. We decided to do this because really nobody cares about the games. Hopefully next week we have the first round series decided in terms of who they face, and then we can do a preview on that one. And if we don't, we'll try to do something fun like this before we can preview.
Yeah, or we'll talk about some of the general NBA stuff that's happening around the corner. No worries.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Al?
No, that's about it. Raps games this week. I think Orlando. I don't know. I think it's Orlando for sure on Monday. And that's the most interesting one. I think that I'm more interested.
I mean,
in.
They're better than last week's games.
Yeah, last week was awful. So yeah.
It's Orlando, Nets, Hornets, and Heat.
Yeah, so potential playoff matchups here.
Yeah.
All could couple. Be. Yeah. So that's what it is. Let's see how the Raps do. No predictions because I think it's all over the place. I just feel like you're going to see a lot of Malcolm Miller, Jody Meeks time, Jeremy Lin time. So You may not see Kawhi. You may see Kawhi play for like two games, three games. Kyle Lowry's going to rest. It'll be a slow week. So not a big issue.
Yep. All right. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening, guys.
See you later, guys.